Every year as a church, I have done a State of the Church address. And I was, being the fact that we were planning to do originally the annual meeting today, I thought, well, let's do the State of the Church address today. And we are. But next week, we're going to, so it's going to be a little bit broken up here. You'll get the church address today, and you'll get the meeting next week. But this morning, what I would like to do is be able to provide a brief review of this previous year, back in 2019, and offer some highlights and just some things that God did among us. And again, you'll get the more fuller response or fuller report next week as we share in detail the things that God did. The other thing that I would like to do this morning is offer a vision for the new year. Basically, God, where are you taking us here in 2020 and beyond? And so God has been putting some things on my heart. God has been putting some things in the hearts of the leaders here at this church. And we've been seeking the Lord together. And I want to just share some of those things this morning. But before we begin, let's begin by praying before the Lord and offering a word of prayer before Him. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we can build our lives on your grace and on the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that you would work and move in our midst this morning, Lord, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and minds today that we might be obedient followers to you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Would you have your way in us and through us today? Lord, we honor you and we honor your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to be sharing, just as I said, a little bit of what where we're going in this upcoming year, and so I'm going to share a biblical text that we're going to go to in a few moments, but I want to say this, God has been very good to us here at Clay House this past year. We've just seen God do so many great things, and he receives all the glory and the praise for it, amen? God receives all the praise and glory. We don't take any of this for ourselves, we do this for him. And I want to offer just a few highlights from this past year. There's too many to mention, but we're going to share a few things today. If you remember, last year we went and we kicked off the year by launching into the new theme for 2019 called Going Public. And if you'll remember, I shared a number of sermons and went through a number of series last year. You remember last spring we went through the book of Galatians where we talked about the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We learned what the gospel is and what the gospel is not. And there's a lot of false teaching that is out there these days. And so we learned what is the message of salvation. What is the message that we need to be about proclaiming? This past summer, we went through a series called Sent, where we learned about the mission that we have as a church to love Jesus and make his love known and to advance the gospel throughout the world. And then this past fall, we looked at a particular method by which we can do that, particularly the area of biblical hospitality. And so we talked about the message, the mission, and the method by which we can go out and share the gospel. And so I want to just say this, we're not stopping on those themes either. We want to continue to be about that and continue to build upon that. And as you know, if you've been attending Clay House here for any number of time, our mission is to love Jesus and to make his love known. And our vision, another way of saying it, is our way in which we accomplish this is the fact that we believe that we're an authentic Christ-centered community bringing hope and healing to Colorado Springs into our world. And we want to be about that. We want to be authentic. We want to be Jesus-focused. And we want to advance his kingdom here in this community and to the ends of the earth. And our main verse as a congregation, the reason why we call ourselves Clay House Church, is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." That means that if anybody's going to get anything from our lives, it's going to be from the content and not the container that holds it. That we advance the gospel through Jesus' work in us and through us to reach a lost and dying world. So I want to share a few highlights. I'm going to go through these rather quickly, but I want to share these important things that God did this past year. Again, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are some great things that we saw that God did this past year. I want to just highlight, first of all, in 2019, the community outreach that God did in and among us as we sought to reach our neighbors and family and coworkers and classmates here in the community. For example, we did a vacation Bible school. I don't know if you remember that this past July, but we had a lot of kids show up, over 70 kids. The kids were just rocketing in here. They were just praising Jesus, and we want to thank God for what he did in and through that, and several kids came to know Jesus in a real meaningful way, and we want to continue to invest in our kids, as we believe kids are a great priority for Jesus, and because of that reality, they must be a great priority for us. So Vacation Bible School was a big highlight for outreach. We also had a wonderful fall festival. You remember that this past October. We had hundreds of people coming from the community to just come as we loved them and as we had food and just had a lot of fun together. There was a lot of work that went into this and with VBS, but it was just a great time to see our engagement with the community around us. We think, for example, also that we launched our St. Francis partnership with the NICU that you heard a little bit about this morning. We launched this ministry this past year as we've been seeking the Lord and say, God, how can we discern where it is you're working in our community and how can we join in with where you're working? And so God has opened this door that we can just love the families that are represented, just basically the hospital that we're in the shadow of over here at St. Francis. And we want to thank those of you. I particularly want to thank Ruth Smith, but I want to thank everybody who's done a lot of work to try to get that off the ground. And we want to continue to bolster that and continue to grow that to reach our community. Again, there's a lot more I could say on the area of outreach, but God worked this past year. And I want to thank you for your heart in reaching lost people. And we want to continue to have that heart because it's God's heart. God's desire is that no one should perish, but all come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Another highlight that we saw here in 2019 was the emerging of many new leaders. We had an opportunity to see a lot of new volunteers in various ministries as people have stepped up. Obviously, we can always use more. I'll make a plug for that right now. But we've seen many people step up into a number of different roles. And I want to thank you. Sometimes those roles are recognized. Sometimes they're really unsung kind of roles where they're kind of behind the scenes. But I want to thank you personally and on behalf of the leadership for all that you do to partner here at Clay House, because we are a body and we need each other. And each of us have gifts and graces that God has given us. And so we want to join ranks together and be able to lock arm in arm to be able to advance the gospel message. We've seen a lot of ministry leaders and coordinators, people that have stepped up into leadership roles this past year. Again, I'll share a little bit more next Sunday at the meeting. We've seen several people added as part-time staff this past year, an administrative assistant, youth, worship, children. God has been blessing in that way, and I want to thank you all, those of you who are in leadership in many different capacities, for your time and dedication and prayer to what it is you're serving. And once again, we need more leaders. And this is something that we as leaders here at Clay House have been discerning and praying, God, how do we raise up more people and equip them to fulfill what God has purposed to do in them and through them? And so we want to empower you. This is not about just several people doing and kind of running the show, as it were. And it's not a show, by the way. But it's about all of us. It's about all of us stepping in to partner in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need more leaders. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that coming up here. But I thank God for the leadership that we've had here at this church. And we are very blessed with very godly elders here. I'm so thankful for each of the men that serve so faithfully. Another highlight that I've seen this past year is spiritual growth. Now, one of the challenges as a pastor is, how do you measure spiritual growth in people. I mean, a lot of people, you know, certain denominational leadership, they want to know how many baptisms, how many dedications, how many salvations. And yeah, that's great, and that tells a little bit of the story, but it doesn't tell the whole story. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives that you can't quite measure. I mean, just because we read our Bible more, I mean, obviously that's a good thing, but are we advancing or are we growing in our walk with Jesus? And so there's a bit of ambiguity as it relates to this subject of measuring spiritual growth. But I will say from the things that I have observed, God is working among the folks here. God is doing some good things among you. And I've just seen in the men's and women's ministry how God has been blessing and people have been meeting regularly and encouraging one another. I've just been grateful for both our men's and women's ministries and our small groups. We've had so many people engaged in small groups here at the church. By the way, just another plug, if you'd like to get connected in, we're going to be launching some and getting a lot of these kind of restarted here for the new year, starting in this week or next. So if you're interested in getting part or being a part of a small group, there are connection cards, or you could just stop by the Connection Center. We would love to get you plugged in. But I'm so thankful for the small groups that have been meeting regularly to study God's Word, to encourage one another, to pray together, and to build accountability together. Really, our small groups are the lifeblood of our church throughout the week. I'm so thankful as well for the many Bible studies that are going on, whether it's something official, if you want to call it that, or just something organic in the sense that people are joining together for breakfast and meeting together for accountability. I'm just so thankful for these Bible studies that are meeting throughout the week, whether mornings or evenings or whatever they may be, whatever the case may be. People are being built up in their faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful for the work that God has been doing, and He receives the glory for that. But I also want to thank you for your dedication and commitment to discipleship here at Clay House. Another highlight this past year in 2019, it's an important thing. I wouldn't put it on the par of what we've been talking about, but building upgrades. We've seen God do a lot of things here among the building. I want to thank the vision team that helps coordinate what's going on here in the property, whether it be the landscaping or the building or whatever it may be. I want to thank each of you that have served so faithfully. We've had sanctuary upgrades with sound and lighting. We've had our driveway repaved. We've had a new HVAC, heating, venting, and air conditioning. By the way, people float that HVAC around. Some of us need to know, what does that actually mean? Heating, venting, and air conditioning. We had that done here on the main floor, so it's good to have heat for our kids and for the nursery. We've also had new signage put up around the property, and just a lot of different projects around the church. And so a lot of things have been going on behind the scenes, but they're actually becoming quite visible. But I want to thank the vision team for all that they're doing, and we didn't go into debt in any of this. So God has been good financially. We made our budget this year, and we spent less than budgeted. So we want to praise God for His faithfulness and provision for us as a congregation. We ended the year in the black, and God is continuing to bless and flourish. So I want to thank you for your generosity and giving to the Lord, not only to help serve the ministries here at Clay House, but to serve missions and ministry around this world. And so I want to just thank you for that. The fifth and final highlight I want to give this morning is, and this goes along with what we've been talking about with spiritual growth. I've seen in you, at least many of you, but most of you, a hunger for God and a hunger for His Word. And I am encouraged by that. There's always ways in which we can grow, and we're going to talk a lot more about that as we go in the days and weeks and months ahead. But I've seen God do some great things in many of you. Just in the private conversations that I've had with some of you are just really pressing in on the Lord. You're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and you're growing in your depth of prayer and worship. And obviously, we can all continue to grow in this way, but I want to continue to just keep the pedal to the metal, as it were, and just keep pressing in before the Lord. I've seen your hunger for the Scriptures, and as I've been a part of various Bible studies throughout this year in small groups, I've just seen that hunger that's there. We've also seen new believers come to know Jesus, praise God, and we've seen baptisms this past year. And again, we want to thank God for the work that He's doing, and we do not want to presume upon grace. Our job is to continue to stay leaning in to Jesus, to stay grafted into the vine, because he's the vine and we're the branches, and we can do nothing apart from his grace and goodness. And so I just want to thank God for the work that he's done and all of his goodness. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen, God. God, we do praise you. So, here we are, 2020. I want to kind of launch it forward and kind of turn the page, turn the chapter. We've gone into a new year, a new decade. And so I want to provide, and I think every church that I've heard about vision, they're talking about a 2020 vision. So I thought, well, we should probably do that since that is the year. We'll go with a 2020 vision eyesight theme. Everybody else is doing it, but it's an important thing. God, what is it you're saying? And this is something that we as a church, and I've been praying, and we as leaders have been praying, Lord, what are you trying to say to us as a church right now? In this season of where we're at, as we've seen your blessing, as if we've seen your hand among us, what is it you're trying to tell us? What is it you're trying to show us? It's interesting, as Jesus spoke to the seven churches in Revelation, he says in Revelation 2, verse 7 and actually verse 29, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this is something that we need to, as a church, take seriously. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? What is it you're trying to show us so that we can take the next step forward in what it is that God has purposed for us? And so I have been seeking the Lord. We as elders have been pressing in. We've been asking the Holy Spirit to show us what do we need to prioritize here at Clay House. So I would like to invite you to turn your Bibles, if you have them. If you don't, you can just listen in. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading verses 15 through 21. Paul is writing the church here at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. I'll give you a moment to find your places. I know many of you on your phone, all you have to do is just punch it in, but we'll give you a second. And by the way, if you're new here, we take the Bible seriously. We want to go to God's Word because His Word is the foundation of where we can build our lives, as His Word is trustworthy. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Paul says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, there's several things that we can talk about. There's a lot of things that are right here in those few verses, but Paul mentions the fact that our time on earth is limited. All of us have a limited amount of time. Some of us have longer. Some of us have shorter as far as years. God knows. You know, when you go to a cemetery, you see the dashes between the two dates when they were born and when they died. You go to some and there's a long time. Sometimes it's close to 100 years or longer. For others, you see tragically, many of them pass away young. But we don't know how long the dash will be someday if Jesus doesn't return first, that we'll be in our own tombstones. But we do know that we want to make the dash count. We want to make sure that we're making the best use of our time for eternity's sake. Because what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. And so because our time is limited, Paul is encouraging the church there at Ephesus, you need to make the best use of it. You need to be wise. The days are evil. And of course, just as in Paul's day, as he's writing this church, I think the same could be said today. We see a lot of evil around us. We see a lot of problems in our society. The devil has gotten a foothold, and we see people that are in bondage to sin. And Paul is saying to the church here, and he's also, I believe, would be saying to us, don't be foolish. Make sure that you understand what God's will is. Certainly we think about this for a congregation, but we also need to be thinking about this as individuals. God, what is it you've called me to do and to be? And so this is important for us to seek the Lord and press in. And I would challenge you and encourage you in your own life to just take that time to get alone with God and say, God, what are you calling me to do and to be? What is it in this season of my life should I be about? What must be the priority of my life? He mentions here in verse 18, he says, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. That's just a big word that means excessive indulgence. Don't be excessively indulgent in that, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I have been taking time to seek the Lord and draw near to Him over these many months, this past fall, just praying about God, where are you leading us here at Clay House? And as we as elders have been seeking the Lord together, I believe that the greatest need of Clay House is for every person to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be empowered or equipped for ministry. I believe that is the greatest need, and that's something I believe that the Holy Spirit has shown me and shown us. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we would ask the question, well, what does this look like? How would our priorities change if we were filled? You remember this past year in 2019, we talked about this theme of going public. But, you know, if we're going to go public, we have to recognize that the Holy Spirit is the one who fuels our ministry and mission to the world. And He's the one that gives us that grace so that we might be witnesses to the people around us. And that we cannot be a people who love Jesus and make His love known unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Unless we are filled to overflowing, we cannot be an authentic Christ-centered community bringing hope and healing in our world without the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And so we've been seeking the Lord, and this is an area where we feel that the Lord is leading us to discuss and to talk. And so the 2020 vision, and something that we have just sensed God is calling us to do, is that we at Clay House are going to be a Spirit-led church. This is not to say we have not been this way, but we can continue to grow in the grace that God gives us, to continue to be filled with His Spirit, and maybe for some of us to be filled for the very first time. Now, what does this mean to be a Spirit-led church? Some of us may be in our thoughts, well, you know, all this emphasis on the Holy Spirit, you're not focusing on Jesus or the Father. I want to say this, it's impossible to overemphasize the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. And Jesus is the one that brings us to the Father. We cannot over-worship the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. And so to be a Spirit-led church, first of all, means that we're going to be a Jesus-centered church. We're going to focus on Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will enable us to draw us to Jesus because the Holy Spirit always points people to Jesus. And I will say this, beware of any quote-unquote Spirit-led church or ministry that doesn't give priority and emphasis to the primacy of Jesus Christ. Jesus must always remain central to who we are and what we are about. We are going to be a Jesus-centered church because that's what it means to be a Spirit-led church. We're also going to be a cross-centered church. The Holy Spirit will always lead us to Jesus, but He will always lead us to the place of total surrender. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must take up your cross and follow me. And this is what's largely the problem of what is going on in Christianity in America. We want Christianity without a cross. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to die out to your agenda, submit yourself completely to me, and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. We want to have all the blessings of God, but we don't want to surrender ourselves completely to Him. So we are going to be, as we're going to be a Spirit-led church, we also have to recognize that we are going to be a cross-centered church. For some of us, the very key critical component of reason why we are not filled with the Spirit is because we have never come to the place of the cross in our lives where we have submitted ourselves completely to Him. We're going to be a cross-centered church. Being a Spirit-led church also means that we're going to be an expectant church. We're going to be a church that expects to meet with God as we come together because God promises that where two or three are gathered in His name, He is here among us. And so I want to just challenge you to be prayerful about what you're preparing to do as you're getting ready to come to church. And I just want to say this. One thing I've discovered In my own life, and as I've seen in a lot of churches, a lot of the reason why many churches and a lot of us kind of get cold, as far as spiritually cold, sometimes when we come to church, is because we have not invested Saturday night very well. You know, I think the Jewish people have something regarding the Sabbath. They would begin Friday night sundown and go till Saturday night sundown. There was something about the night before as they gathered. So if you're out till 1 in the morning watching movies and doing all these things, and you're just dragging coming into church, you need to rethink about how you're investing Saturday night. You need to think about, how can I come tomorrow with a sense of expectation? Maybe it's listening to worship music around the house. Maybe it's just having a quiet time where you're reading the scriptures together. Maybe it means coming to early to church and just listening to the worship music is just going on in the house, preparing your heart as you come. I realize those of you with young kids, it gets a little hectic and it's a little crazy, and you can have all the good intentions and right intentions of saying, we're going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and we're going to worship the Lord, but it turns into hell trying to get to church. I understand that. But I will say this. I believe if we want to have a greater sense of the presence and power in our midst, we need to come with a greater sense of expectation to meet with Him. Not just to go through kind of business as usual, sing your songs, worship, and as good as that is, do your offering. And we need to infuse that with the life of Christ and come with a worshipful heart and a desire not just to connect with people, but to connect with God. So we're going to be an expectant church, as we're going to be a Spirit-filled church. Also, to be a Spirit-filled church means that we're going to be faith-filled. We're going to believe God for big things. Scripture says that God does exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. This means that God is capable of blowing our minds. Now, certainly, God has given us minds, and we need to use them, but we want to be filled with faith. And faith is a gift of God, but we want to honor Jesus and come with an sense of expectation for God to do big things, for God to do miracles, and to break through in our lives where we need Him to break through. To be a Spirit-filled church also means that we're going to be an obedient church. We're going to obey Jesus. We're called in Scripture to walk rightly before God. The Holy Spirit is holy, and because He is holy, He calls us to be holy. And we can go in many places in Scripture and say and see and recognize that God has called us to righteousness. He's called us to holiness, to obedience. And so as we're going to emphasize the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're going to emphasize the call to holiness and the call to righteousness before the living God. We are going to be an obedient church. Psalm 24 says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord except he who has clean hands and a pure heart?" God is looking for purity in us. Yes, we stand in the blood of Christ. We stand in His righteousness. We are covered in His blood. We are made new, but God calls us to walk in obedience. There's a big word called sanctification. This means that we continue to grow in our lives. And some of us need to potentially come to some crisis moments, in a sense where we need to come to a place of decision. We need to come to a place where we're confronted. Am I going to follow Jesus 100% or not? We're going to be an obedient church. To be a Spirit-led church also means, finally, that we're going to be a mission-driven church. We're going to continue to take the great commandments to love God and to love others seriously. And we're going to take the Great Commission seriously to make disciples. We're going to build on all the things that we've been talking about and praying about and doing already. But we're just simply coming before God and saying, God, unless You fill us, this isn't going to be accomplished. Unless You do this work among us, nothing will be happening that will be any eternal or significant value. So we're going to be a Spirit-led church, and we're going to be obedient to Jesus in all things. And again, this is not an indictment as to what has happened prior to this point. I believe God has been leading, and we've been a Spirit-led church already, but we want to continue to grow in this. So what does this look like practically? Well, several things we're going to be focusing on as we turn the page, turn the chapter here into 2020. First of all, we're going to be Spirit-fed for discipleship. We're going to be spirit-fed for discipleship. You know, one of the things as we as elders and leaders have been praying about and recognizing is the need to, as Jesus commands us, to make disciples. And so we've been kind of asking ourselves some very hard questions like, are we really making disciples, and are people mature in their walk with Jesus? And I realize that there's people all over the map. All of you have different experiences, backgrounds. You know, some of you are just newly saved. You're new followers of Jesus Christ. Many of you have been following Jesus for many years. Now, that does not automatically make you mature. But I will say there's a lot of representative of all people here that are represented here. And so as a result, we've been asking, Lord, how do we do discipleship here? How do we make disciples in the way that is effective and enables you to fulfill what God has purposed you to do? And I will say this, we don't fully have the answer to this right now. We're seeking the Lord, we're praying, we're pressing into Him. And frankly, I don't know that we'll ever fully come to a full answer. We're going to continue to seek every day, every month, every year, as long as we're here. But I will say this, Jesus commands us quite clearly to make disciples, and this is something we want to do, and we're going to make a priority of discipleship and equipping here at Clay House in 2020 and ahead. We've also talked about what is a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. I mean, what are the kind of ingredients of a mature follower of Jesus? I mean, obviously there's theological training. People talk about apologetics, and so people have to have a cognitive understanding of important theological foundations in the Scripture. They have this understanding in our mind, so that's certainly true. But also experientially, that people would have a sense of encounter with Jesus to a deeper life in Christ. We've also talked about just the need for equipping and training all of us to discover our spiritual gifts and graces that God has given us, and then to potentially be put into places where our gifts can thrive with a sense of accountability. And so this is something that we as a church are seeking to discover what God wants to do for us. I will say that small groups will continue to be a very important part of this discussion, but there may be some other things that God is calling us to do. Now, I will say this as well. There is a danger sometimes as a church you can kind of over-dictate things and you don't let things happen organically or naturally among folks. We want to be discerning of that. We want to provide some opportunities and kind of some guide rails, for us to go down the tracks on, but also give you a sense of freedom to discover, God, how can I connect with certain people for areas of accountability and so forth. So we're trying to discern that as leaders, but this is a big, big priority that we have at Clay House Church because it's the great, great commission. Jesus has commanded us to make disciples as we go. I also want to say this. Our mission is not a building, it's the people. Yet I do believe that this building that we have here is a tool that God has given us to reach people for the gospel. And so we need to take care of it. And so the vision team is praying about some things about how do we address issues like security? How do we address, we talked about HVAC this past year. There's needs for air conditioning upstairs. You know, this winter it's fine, but summer, how can people gather together upstairs if it's just like an oven up there? So there's just some natural things that we need to look at as far as a building and facilities issue to help foster discipleship to happen here in our church, that it would be used as a tool to minister to people around us. And I've been a church planner, and I remember setting up every Sunday and tearing things down. We can thank God for a building, amen? Some of you that have been part of a church plan in the past understand the blessing that we have in this building. Yes, there's still more work to be done, but we thank God for what God is doing. So we're reworking this discipleship model as elders, and we're praying about things, but we want to be multiplying mature followers of Jesus Christ, that we would be spirit-fed for discipleship. That's the first thing. The other thing that we're going to be talking about this year is being spirit-formed for ministry. Spirit-formed for ministry. So each of us is part of the body of Jesus Christ, that if our faith is in Him, if our trust is in Jesus Christ, that you are part of the kingdom of God and you're part of His church. And as a result, you have gifts and graces that need to be cultivated and utilized here in our body. And so we want to minister to you, and we want to equip you so that you can be effective in what God has called you to do and to be in your life. And so we want to minister to the body, the soul, and the spirit. You know, Jesus came to make us whole, and we pray that each of us would be made whole in every way. Some of us are saved, but we still have areas maybe where the enemy has had a foothold or an area of bondage in our life, an area where we have succumbed to temptation regularly. And so we want to be spirit-formed, not only for sanctification, to grow to be like Jesus, but for ministry. You know, the Holy Spirit desires to make us, according to 2 Timothy 2:21, vessels fit for the master's use. Yes, we are pots, clay pots, and the treasure is in the pot, but we're just clay pots ourselves. The real ministry is going to happen, the content, but not the container. But God intends to make us vessels for the master's use. He intends to make us whole, to rework our lives. And the potter does that in each of our lives. We want to be vessels fit for the master's use. And so I believe that God wants to take us deeper. You know, I was filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time in 1993, long before I ever preached a sermon. And the lesson that I've learned time and time again is that God often builds the man or the woman before he ever builds the ministry. Let me say that again. God builds the man or the woman oftentimes before he builds the ministry. You know why? Because if he built the ministry before he built us, we would collapse under the weight of it. God builds us and does unique things in each of us, graces and gifts that he gives us so that he can use us for his glory. And I don't know what God is calling you to do and to be. I certainly know what he's calling you to be according to his word, but uniquely how that's to be expressed in your life. But I do know that each of us need to seek the Lord and press in. And for some of us, maybe you have been up many a nights in recent weeks and months and years saying, God, how long? I just don't feel like I'm right where you want me to be. I don't feel like I'm just right in step. I feel like something's missing. I feel like there's a certain stirring in my heart. Something's going on that you're doing in my life, but I can't quite figure it out right now. Well, we as a church want to help you discover that. And this is something that only the Holy Spirit can show you. But we want to be about this as a church. And so this year, we're going to be going in the sermons. This spring, starting next week, I'm going to be doing a teaching on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to cultivate an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is scripturally and build a foundation for understanding his work in our lives so that we can appropriate his work and live it out faithfully as Jesus has commanded us to do. So that'll take us all the way till about Easter time. And then after Easter, we're going to go into May and we're going to talk about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about practical things about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? That we would honor God with our lives. And then in the summer and beyond, we're looking to go into 1 and 2 Corinthians. We're going to try to go verse by verse beginning in the summer. I don't know exactly how the Lord will lead in the timing of that, but we're looking come summertime and beyond. It might even take us into the school year, well into the school year, maybe even the next year, going into 1 and 2 Corinthians and talking about body life in Christ. What does it mean to be a mature follower of Jesus, and how is that expressed in the local church body? But we're going to be spirit-formed for ministry. Finally, we're going to be a spirit-filled church for outreach. You know, Acts 1:8 talks about that Jesus will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will send us out. And he sent the disciples out to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The purpose for the coming of the Holy Spirit is for mission. That Jesus wants us to be his hands and his feet to the world around us. And we have to recognize that every place that we go, even this week, is a place that Jesus wants to go in us and through us to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we're always going to be driven by Jesus' mission to his church to make disciples of all nations. We're still, as I mentioned, going to go public. We're still going to be active locally, regionally, and globally. And we're still going to make investments and support ministries and mission opportunities, places like France and elsewhere, places globally where God is working and moving. But we're also going to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we do this. That God would be raising some of us potentially to be sent out as missionaries to the ends of the earth. I've also discovered that Spirit-filled people are generous people. And I thank God, as I mentioned earlier, that God has been allowing you to be generous with this ministry and with what's going on, the Great Commission Fund. And we want to praise God for your generosity. But I will also say this. I believe there's ways in which many of us can still grow in this area. Maybe we've never really been taught what it means to give. You know, we don't think so much of tithing to the Lord. We think of tipping. Well, the service was pretty good. I'll give a few dollars. We need to understand this idea of generosity and what does it mean to be a generous person. And I will say it's very possible to get the cart in front of the horse. I believe when we're filled with the Spirit, we say, Lord, everything that I have is yours. How can I use my resources and my time and my talent, my treasures to be a witness and to allow your gospel to be advanced in the world? If we're just simply say, be generous without a real heart change, then it feels much more like a chore and something that's coerced rather than something that is really truly from the depths of our heart. So we're going to be about outreach. We're going to be about being a generous people with who we are. You know, Jesus desires Clay House to be Holy Spirit fed, formed, and filled. That we be that kind of church that is completely obedient to His will. You know, notice here in Ephesians chapter 5, if you're still there, it mentions, Paul says that we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, this isn't optional. I want to be very clear. Every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk at length over these next number of weeks and months about this understanding the reality of what it means to be filled. But because we must be a filled church, and when people are filled, there's going to be overflow. There's going to be a sense that people are going to get the overflow of our lives. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm not going to read this here in verses 15 through 21 again. Ephesians 5 says, one of the overflow, or a few of the overflow things that happen in a person that's Spirit-filled is they love to sing. They have grateful hearts. They love one another. They honor Jesus. And this is what we want to be about, that our hearts would overflow with those same traits and realities. You know, years ago, there was a famous running back by the name of Herschel Walker who was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1999. And he played for the Dallas Cowboys, and I guess we can forgive him for that. He got traded eventually to a few other teams, but he was traded to the Cowboys, or he was traded from the Cowboys to several other teams. But he was actually persuaded years ago to help out with the Fort Worth Ballet Company by moving from breaking tackles on the football field and bowling over defenses against the backdrop of all the cheers of everyone in the crowds to spinning and dancing to the classical strains of Tchaikovsky. It's a complete reversal of what he was used to. And actually, when an interviewer asked Herschel about how hard the transition was, he replied, "When I dance, I have to use a completely different set of muscles." And the truth is, so many of us have worked our muscles very well in the area of Bible study, apologetics, theological training, and I say keep it up. Let's keep training ourselves. Let's keep being strong in the Word of God. Amen? Let's absolutely be strong in those areas. But while many of us are solid in those understanding theological things and cognitive terms, many of us are very shallow in our experience of the working of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, when we talk about listening to the voice of God or being led of the Holy Spirit or being filled, some of us feel a little bit like deers in headlights. We feel a bit lost and everything feels a bit foreign to us. And so this year, while we're still going to stay rooted in God's Word, I believe God's going to be working a different set of muscles in some of us. Theologically rich? Yes. Experientially rich? Yes. that we would have intimate fellowship with God. Parents, leaders, our kids, and the people that we serve not only need to see that we serve God faithfully, but they also need to see that we seek God intensely. And for some of us, we talk about seeking the Lord, we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we come to a place where we've just done what we've always done and we just sort of hit the ceiling. I believe God is going to take us to deeper waters here and begin to work different sets of muscles. And it's going to perhaps feel a little bit, boy, I'm not used to this. And we're not called to be a circus here. But we are called to exalt Jesus. And we are called to know Him. Because Jesus talks about on Judgment Day, people that did all these miracles and did all these things, and Jesus said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Some of us know about Jesus, but we don't know Jesus. Some of us think we can understand a little bit about who God is, but we never really know God. I believe God is inviting us to not just know Him with our minds, and we do need to use our minds. A lot of things that go on as far as Spirit-led ministry can be very crazy when it's not rooted in God's Word. But we want to stay on the horse, because you can fall off on either side, but we want to be biblically balanced, theologically rich, but also experientially rich as well. And it's time that we be led as individuals and as a church by the Holy Spirit to not just break tackles with theological arguments. And yes, there's a time and a place for certainly discussing, and we need to keep that up. But we also need to learn to dance. We need to learn to say, "Jesus, take me deeper. I want to know you, and I want to know your will and your way for me. I want to discern your voice. I want to know your way, and Holy Spirit, I want to know what pleases you in my life." So my prayer for this church, and I hope it's your prayer as well, is that we would be a Spirit-led people, because we're commanded to be a Spirit-led people. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close this service by singing a song, "Our God." How many know that we serve a powerful God? Amen? Amen. We serve a God who is mighty to save. And so as we're going to be a Spirit-led church, we're going to exalt Jesus and we're going to lift up the Father. And we know that God is able, as I mentioned, to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask, think, or imagine. And so as we sing this together, "Our God," we want to lift up God, who is the true and living God. Amen? That we would worship Him and worship Him alone. So let's sing with all of our hearts this morning and praise to Him.